So first of all, I'd like to thank everyone for coming out tonight. This is actually the last shiur in the segment of Dina d'Malchusa Dina about acting according to the law of the land, which we know is not only a heter, it's not only a permission, but actually, in many cases, it's a obligation. There's a chiyuv of Dina d'Malchusa Dina. There's a ritual obligation to really fulfill the law of the land. And in the context of Dina d'Malchusa Dina, so far we've spoken about the general parameters, and we spoke about permission, or I should say lack thereof, in terms of cheating on taxes. And tonight I'd like to speak about one other element of Dina d'Malchusa Dina, which is actually very often a byproduct of the shiur we had last week. And that is the question of Moser, the question of whether you are allowed to hand people over to the secular authorities, whether you can be a snitch, for lack of a better term. Is that permitted or is that forbidden? That's the basic question. And we should be aware that traditionally in Jewish society, the worst person, the person who was the most despised, the most hated, the most loathsome individual in the entire community was the Moser. And the Moser, he was not looked kindly upon for good reason. For good reason. And the Gemara discusses many halachos of the Moser, but mostly these are halachos in terms of tort liability, in terms of paying for damage. If I'm a Moser, that means if I give over a Jew's property to a non-Jew, the non-Jewish authorities are coming around to, let's say, collect money, collect taxes from people, and I hand over a Jew's property to the non-Jews, I'm a Moser, and as a Moser, so the din is, I am chayiv to pay. That is the first context of the Gemara at the end of Bava Kamma, that a Moser has to pay. That is the source number 3 in Shulchan Aruch. I'm giving you sources from Shulchan Aruch, not from the Gemara, just because it's easier. But Shulchan Aruch tells us in source number 3 on this page, HaMoser Mamon Bidei Anos, if I give money over, Jewish money, I give it over to a robber, Bein Anos Ovekochom and Bein Anos Yisrael, whether that robber is a Jew, the bandit, the robber is a Jew or a non-Jew, Chayiv L'Shalei Mehayofa Sheben Chosab, Kol Mashal Kacha Anos. Right, I'm chayiv to pay from the best stuff I have. This is considered hezek, it's nezikin, and nezikin is mishalmin min ha'idus. The halacha is that when I damage you, if I pay up with land, if I pay with cash, so all cash is good. Cash is great. But if I don't pay with cash, if I pay with land, so there's better land, there's worse land, there's medium quality land, so if I'm a mazik, if I damage, I have to pay with the best stuff. And that's the halacha also. If a moser, they have to pay with the best stuff. Now, Moser seems to buck the trend of the regular rules of damage. Ordinarily, a mazik, a damager, is only obligated if he directly damages. So if I go and I take stuff away, I'm chayiv. If it's grumma, if it's indirect damage, so then, generally speaking, I'm putter. Right? Grumma ben nezakin is putter. Moser is an interesting situation. No, I'm not directly damaging. What am I doing? I'm telling the non-Jewish authorities that you should know that he has the goods. Right? You're looking for somebody who's growing marijuana plants in his backyard, and it happens, this can't happen in Washington Heights because no one has a backyard. But
I know people who, what's the goal? I did know people who used to do it.
I didn't say anything.
Here's
so, are you allowed to hand these people over? So, we'll talk about that, but basically, if I hand them over, so I have to pay, even though I'm not damaging the adayim, I'm not physically damaging, I am causing damage to happen, still I have to pay. That is the first halacha of Moser, that there's tort liability. Then there are other halachas of Moser. First of all, there's in source 1, we see that Moser is an Isser. It's a very serious iser. It's Asr Limsar Yisrael Biyad Ovde Kochadim. You're not allowed to hand a Jew over. And then the last line of source number one is frightening. Bechol hamoser Yisrael v'yad oved kochavim v'im begufo v'im emono ein lo chelak v'olam haba. This is actually a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. If I am moser a Jew to someone else, so ein lo chelak v'olam haba. You have no portion in the world to come. That's frightening. So being a moser is terrible. Being a moser is a terrible thing. The most loathsome individuals in society were the moser. Now, the halacha even goes further. So not only is a moser chayiv in nezek, and not only is a moser going to be pasul la'edus, if you give over a Jew's property or a Jew's body to the non-Jewish authorities, you're a pasul la'edus, right? That's all true. This is all explicit in Shulchan Aruch. And not only do you not have a portion in Olam Haba, but the Gemara in Bava Kama alludes to the fact, and the Tshuvas HaRosh paskins that way, and it makes it to Shulchan Aruch here in Se'if Yud, in Source 2, and this is really frightening, Mutar Laharo Kamosar Afilu Bizman Hazeh. Right? Bizman Hazeh, in our times, we don't have a Bezdin, so we don't really kill people anymore. If someone's Mechal Shabbos, so we don't put them to death. Right? But if someone is a Mosar, you are allowed to kill him. You're allowed to kill him. Right? Mutar Laharigu Kodem Shiyimsar, before he's Mosar. Why is that true? So the Rush writes in the Tshuva, because we treat every Mosar like he's a Rodev. The halacha of a Rodev is that if someone is pursuing someone else, trying to kill the person, so you're allowed to stop him from his pursuit, right? Mutar Lehatsilo Benafsho. You're allowed to stop him by killing him. So we know that if this Moser is going to take away the Jew's property today, then right, he's going to hand the Jew's property over to the non-Jew. So then what's going to happen tomorrow? The non-Jew is going to come again. The Moser will hand over more property. Eventually, the guy's not going to have any property left to give to the non-Jew. And then what's the non-Jew going to do? What's Slobodan going to do to him? What Slobodan always does? He's going to kill him. Right? That's what the non-Jew is going to do. So therefore, if I'm a Moser on Mammon, right, the halacha says you're allowed to kill him because it's tantamount to being a rodev. It's like you are a pursuer. It's like someone who is attempting to kill somebody else. Okay, so this is a basic halacha. You had a comment?
Yeah. Question. Even after the fact?
You cannot do it after the fact, right? That's Befeirush and Shulchan Aruch and Sif Yud Aleph, actually. All these things in Shulchan Aruch 7 Shin Pei Ches. Right, the din of every rodev is that if someone is running to do an aveira, I could kill him before he does the aveira. Once he did the aveira, then if you want to kill him, you need a bezdin, you need a psak, you need edim, hasra, or the regular dinim. The same is true by a moser. After the fact, you can't. But if someone is a habitual moser, let's say you have somebody, right? That's what the Rush is talking about in his tshuva. You have somebody who everybody knows. He was meiser yesterday, and he was meiser 2 days ago, and 3 days. He's been a meiser for many years. So such a moser, you're allowed to kill after the fact, because after the fact is before the fact. Right? Reb Ruvi Margolios was a fascinating person. He was the librarian in Hebrew University. He was actually Rav Kulitz, who was just Nifter, the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim's brother-in-law. Was Reb Ruvi Margolios. He was the librarian in Hebrew U, and he wrote a sefer in Sanhedrin that's used in yeshivas called the Margolios Hayam. It's a really interesting sefer. He has lots of stories. He makes Sanhedrin really exciting, the sechta. Hey, I don't know how people learned Sanhedrin before they had the sefer Margolios Hayam. So he tells there in this, a story in Daf Mem Vav, a story that he heard from his father when he was a little boy, that his Reb Ruvi Margolios' father remembers when he was a little boy that he lived in the town of Griding, which was next to Lvov, and he remembers that one Kol Nidre night, Yom Kippur, so the local meiser showed up in shul, and he went and he took his seat up in the front of the shul, right next to where the Rav was, and he wrapped himself in the talus, and everyone's wrapped up in the talus in the davening, it's Yom Kippur night, and a bunch of people went, they took him, they tied him up in the talus, carried him out of shul, and threw him in the local river, where he died. Where he died. The next morning, the government authorities come to the shul, and they say, okay, this guy was in shul last night, and he's dead now. What happened? And no one said anything. Everyone is like, we didn't see anything. We were down in Kol Nidre. Yeah, we heard some noise, but we just thought he was crying because, you know, tshuva, chveis, tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah, he's clapping al chet the whole time. So, but We don't know what happened. Who knows, right? Who knows what happened? So he tells the story. And traditionally speaking, Jews killed Mosrim. This was Maisim B'chol Yom. Right? People, we knock them off. It's a regular process. This is what we do. Right? We kill the Moser. So to be a Moser is terrible, awful, horrible, despicable. Right? We can keep on going with the adjectives. I just don't have a thesaurus with me. Fun. So now. Yes.
So I guess all of this depends, meaning the fact that Moser is considered a Rodef is depends on the fact that the person that you're being Moser to will eventually kill the other Jew, right?
Well, what happens is the person who I'm being Moser to, right, the government or the non-Jewish government or this non-Jewish bandit, whoever it is, or even the Jewish government or bandit who I'm being Moser, will eventually kill this guy. Or there's a chash of pekuach nefesh. There's a chance that eventually he's going to be killed. So what you do is, well, if someone might kill me, I'm allowed to kill him.
So does that mean that in case where the government will not kill a person...
Oh, okay, good. We'll get there. So what I want to do is begin by talking about classical Moser, like the din in Shulchan Aruch, and then, of course, we'll have the conversation about, well, what about in the year 2010? Right? But first I want to get through the basic dinim. Now, actually, maybe we could begin with some of the cases that occur today. Maybe we can begin with it right now. We'll begin right now.
Can I ask you a question first? Just to get back to something you just said. If somebody's going to kill you, you can kill him. I mean, supposing somebody you know has a gun and he's made some threats to you, are you allowed to kill him first?
Yeah, so again, it depends on... The halacha is that you're allowed to kill someone who is pursuing you, but if it's nitan hatzilo be'echad me'ivarev, if you could prevent him from killing in some other way, if you could steal his gun, or in the Gemara's case, you could shoot him in the leg, you could turn him in, something like that, right? You're not allowed
to... That's Moser, turning him in.
Right, that's permitted. In this case, it's permitted. He's out to kill you, right? So you're allowed to hand him over.
I'm thinking some of these domestic violence things.
Okay, like so in cases of domestic violences, right, actually, there is a really good article. Much of what I'm quoting tonight comes from Rabbi Michael Breit's article in the Journal of Halakhic Contemporary Society, which is also found on the website jlaw.com. I'm trying to add a few things here and there, but this is the Journal of Halakhic Contemporary Society, volume 43, spring of 2002, the first article that about Moser. Now, what about if you have the following case? Okay, this is a case that Rav Moshe Sternbach has. There is a fellow who drives in town without a driver's license. Are you allowed to hand him over to the authorities?
Is he a reckless driver?
Okay, so let's go two stages. Right? One is that he drives without a license. The other is that he's a reckless driver. He's a lunatic. He's driving 95 miles an hour down the side streets, like waving to mom while he's doing it. Are you allowed to hand him? Are you allowed to hand him over to the authorities?
Should hope so.
So you should hope so, right? It's kind of dangerous. Kind of dangerous. So there is a case in Shulchan Aruch as follows, and here the Shulchan Aruch actually has a mistake in the girsa that the Shach already picked up on. Let's learn number four. Kol ha-moser ha-tzibor u-mitza'aron mutam ha-moser b'yad olfei kochavim. The way the text reads is that someone is moser the tzibor. What does that mean? He's trying to give the entire group over to the authorities. That's not so likely, no? What does that mean? So the Shach changes the girsa. The Shach changes the girsa to v'tzarech lomar. Look at source 5. Kol ha-mitza'ar. It's easier to make this mistake if you speak Litvish or Hebrew. That kol ha-mitza'ar becomes kol ha-mitza'ar. Right? It just is easier. So the din is that if someone is basically inflicting pain on a tzibor, he's inflicting pain on an entire community, so you're allowed to be moser that person. That's the halacha. That's the halacha. Now, there is no chance in this case that anyone is going to die. This guy is a nuisance. He is a pain. He is a very annoying person. Right? He's really inflicting pain on the entire community. So the halacha is you're allowed to be moser him. That's the din. That's the din. Consequently, Rav Moshe Sternbach Paskins, in the case of that reckless driver, even if the guy might not be dangerous, odds are a reckless driver is really dangerous, right? But right, the reckless driver case, he says, is someone who is being made sarah the tzibur. He's putting people into pain. So therefore, you're allowed to be moser him. What's the pshat in this story? What's the pshat in this? So I thought that this might depend, the reason why this is true, even though it seems to really go against the rules of the halacha. No, the halacha is I'm allowed to give a moser is considered a rodef. Right? That's why I'm allowed to kill a moser. Because he's a rodef, he's a pursuer. But this guy's not a pursuer. Right? There's no chance that death is going to occur. He's just meitzar the tzibur. He is just inflicting pain on them. So how come I'm allowed to be moser him? How come I'm allowed to hand him over? And I'm even allowed to kill him? Why is that permitted? So it seems to me that it's permitted based on the comment that the Ran has here in Shabbos. I actually heard this when I was a kid. So Rabbi Chaim Kreisworth, Zichrono Livracha, he was the Rav in Antwerp. And he was a very interesting fellow. He was like a multimillionaire. And he was a rabbi just on the side, kind of. But he was like a massive Talmud Chacham. He was one of these Jews who just knew all of Shas Baal Peh. And he held it himself. And he liked to tell stories about how much he knew. That was what Rabbi Kreisworth was. So Rabbi Kreisworth was once in Lawrence, where I grew up. And on Shalosh Shuvos, we were sitting around and schmoozing with him. So he told a story that he remembered when he was in Europe. In the town of Lvov, he said it happened, that there was a factory. There was a factory that the factory owner wanted to insist that everybody works on Shabbos. That was what he wanted to insist. And the Shaila went to Reb Elya Meislish, who was the Rav there, whether it was permitted for people to work on Shabbos. So we're sitting there, I'm like, what type of Shaila is this? Of course, you know, I'm working Shabbos. Like, what's the question? So, Rabbi Elia Meislish said he doesn't want to answer the Shaila. He doesn't want to answer the Shaila. He came back to him the next day, said, I'm not going to answer the Shaila. The next day, I'm not going to answer. And Rabbi Kreisler says he knows why he didn't want to answer. He didn't want to answer because the Ran writes in Maseches Shabbos, this is the way he told the story, that Sa'ar to an entire tzibur is considered pekuach nefesh. If an entire tzibur of people is going to be in a painful situation, so the halacha might treat that like the kuach nefesh. So therefore, in that case, where the entire tzibur, this entire factory, which was employing only Jews, that was the case, the entire factory is employing Jews, so there would be serious tzar involved. People aren't going to have a job, they won't have money. So tzar for a tzibur is tantamount to the kuach nefesh.
Was the owner Jewish?
What? Was the owner Jewish? I don't remember the details. I don't remember. I wrote the story down somewhere. I just didn't check my notes before this year tonight. Now this Ran, I printed up for you. The Ran is here in Shabbos. I'm not lying to you. The case is that the Ran quotes from a Bahag. That the Bahag says, Harab Baal Halachos Hittir Afil Isura de Oraisa. Right, the case is that there is a hot coal in Rosh Hashanah Harabim, a hot burning coal in the street on Shabbos, and people might get injured from that hot coal. Am I allowed to do an Isser D'Oraisa, let's say, to extinguish the fire, assuming that that's an Isser D'Oraisa in this case, to extinguish the coal, in order to prevent people from getting damaged? Right? And the Ran asks, here, let's pick it up from the bottom line, the Divrei Tamahim. How can the Bahag permit extinguishing this coal, which according to him is an Issa d'Oraisa, Heich Yatir Shmuel Malacha d'Oraisa Shalo B'Makom Sakhanus Nefashos? How is it possible to be Matir d'Oraisa unless it's Pekuach Nefesh? Eba, he says, Shener Sharav Zal Sover D'Nizka D'Rabim K'Sakhanus Nefashos Choshev Lana. Tremendous Yisod. Rabbi Kreisler was like, so proud of himself that he knew this Ran. It's a Gevaldik Ran. Right? It's amazing that Nezek of a Rabbim, right, if an entire community, again, what's considered a Rabbim, you have to get into the details, I don't know, but Nezek of a Rabbim is considered like, right, is considered like pikuach nefesh. So I thought that maybe once I heard this shiur from, I wasn't really sure, it was like a conversation, I heard this from Rabbi Kreisberg about that story in Levav, for Be'al Yamaiswish, etc. So then I thought, well, maybe that's the pshat in this din in Shulchan Aruch, no? Here's this guy who is inflicting pain on an entire tzibur. Now, I don't know how far this goes. Let's say, I remember as a kid, I had a neighbor who used to play the drums late at night.
Yeah.
Right? Is that inflicting tzar on an entire tzibur? Are you allowed to kill him? you definitely want to, right? But are you allowed to, halachically? I don't know. I don't know how far this idea goes.
But can you call the police?
Right? Can you call the police on him? Right. So, l'chora, yes. Right? I mean, it's beferish and shochanach, yes. It's meitzar the rab, and whatever is putting pain to a whole group of people, you're allowed to be moser him. What about, right, killing him? Right? Again, because every moser, if we consider him like a moser, so am I allowed to hand him over? Am I allowed to kill him or not? Maybe, perhaps, the idea is, based on this round in Shabbos, kind of crazy, no? Kind of crazy. That maybe the idea is that it's mutter to be moser him, or it would be mutter to kill him, because tsar of the rabbin is considered like pekuach nefesh. Maybe that's the pshat. Again, I'm not saying this halacha l'maisa. I'm just saying this is an interesting idea. I like it. Okay, fine. Good. Now, so the classical halachos of Mozart are that the heterim is if someone is inflicting pain on a tzibur. There's also two opinions in Shulchan Aruch. I didn't print the source out. Shulchan Aruch and Se'if Hey, the Ramah has two opinions about, let's say there is somebody who is Mozar not to inflict pain on somebody else, but he's Mozar in order to save himself. This is what comes up if the lawyers can correct me in the plea bargain deal. Right? In a plea bargain, let's say the government has they know I've been cheating on my taxes, I've been doing who knows what. So they're going to throw the book at me. But the government isn't really interested in me. I'm a small fish. They really want all the people who are making cash deals with me. Right? They want me to report on them. Am I allowed to be moser them in order to save myself? Is that permitted? Is that permitted? So there are two opinions on the Ran. There are two things in the Ramah in Shin Pei Chasif Hei. Someone who's miskaving lahotzi es shalo lo mikri moser. That's the first opinion in the Ramah. The second opinion in the Ramah is yesh chokin. There are those who disagree and say that you are called a moser. Right? So these two opinions in the Ramah is very nogei ala maisa in every plea bargain case. Whether you're allowed to be moser others over. So again, so these are the classical dinim of Moser. Now, just to give another example of poskim who are working with the classical dinim of Moser to permit, Rav Moshe Sternbach has the following case in Tshuvos VaHanhagos. It is in Chelak Beis of Tshuvos VaHanhagos, Simen Tov Shin Chof Zayin. Okay, there was a Jew in South Africa who owned a brothel. Right, that's the case. So the shaila was whether they're allowed to be moser him to the government. Zaktiv Moshe Sternbach, who's not known for being very tolerant and liberal, right? He says, Lo shem moser la mosra, ela shem mitzvah. Right? You have to be moser this fellow. Right? And he has two reasons. One case is, just like every moser is usually a rodev, because he's pursuing the guy whose money he wants to take away, because it's he might lead to killing this guy. So in this case, the bravo owner, he says, is a different type of rodev. He's like a rodev achar ha'erva. He's creating people to violate the isurim of Arayos. That's one approach that he has. Then the next approach that he says, v'od sherabim nechsholim al yado. Many people are suffering because of him. Many people are stumbling because he has a bravo. It was a mildly Jewish community, it sounds like. And people were frequenting his place. And many people were suffering because of it. And he's not talking about physical suffering in that case. He's talking about the spiritual suffering. And he permitted them to be moser, this brothel owner. So these cases are, this case of the tsa'ar to the rabbim is used by the poskim on a frequent basis.
What about a case where a Jewish owner has a non-kosher restaurant? I mean, wouldn't that be sounds like the same logic would be
applied. Right, so the issue, though, is in order to hand him, in order to be Moser's authorities, it has to be that he's violating some sort of law. No? What's the, is there any law against having a non-kosher restaurant? I don't think so.
I guess you're assuming that this was illegal.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an assumption.
From the
halachic perspective, it's also an isser. He has a discussion that we assume the Gemara in Shavuos says that if someone is nokev achar ha'erva, if someone is nice English term, someone's a pimp. So that's a very serious isser. The Gemara in Shavuos says it's a very, very serious thing. The Vilna Gaon points out in one place that by all of the Aseres HaDibros were more machmir, that someone who causes others to do it is going to be a more serious violator by the Aseres HaDibros than by other Isurim. That's what the Vilna Gaon has to take, and since Lo Sinof is one of the Aseres HaDibros, yes, that's a serious problem. Serious problem.
In his example, if let's say the person was doing something else which was illegal, would you be able to justify being Moser him because of what he's being nishal the rabbi with something else, which wasn't illegal.
Now, if he's doing something that's not illegal, you can't be most of him.
But saying, well, if something along with that, let's say he's running a cash business out of this restaurant.
So if he's running a cash business and he is making a lot of people suffer, that his business is charging, he's running a cash pawn shop and he's making people suffer by charging exorbitant rates of interest. According to this, maybe it's Moser to be Moser him, yeah.
Yeah, but those are related. See, if they're unrelated, but
unrelated, I don't know. I don't know. That's already... I don't know. So now, classical Moser is really very limited. The question, though, is what about for us today, living in the year 2010 in the United States of America? So there is a comment of the Aruch HaShulchan that is famous or notorious. The Aruch HaShulchan writes as follows, source 7, Ha'Aruch. Yadua l'chol kor'ei hadoros. Anyone who knows history knows. Shebizman ha'kadmon b'medinos ha'rechokos. A long time ago in places far, far away. It sounds like it's the beginning of a fairy tale. Right? Lo haya le'ish bitachon b'gufo b'mimono mipnei hashodidim ha'nosim. No one was secure in their money or in their body because of these robbers. Ah, shenasu aleihem shaim misra kayadua, even though there was some authority there, but they were not secure. Gam hayom, today also, me'ez medinos me'Africa, in certain countries far away in Africa, hashod v'achamos, shepachos ha'memshala osim, the robbery that the government authorities or the government appointees do, v'altom. So there are places, it's not only a long time ago, even today, there are places that the government doesn't really protect people, and everyone suffers terribly, or the government itself is involved in making people suffer, and no one is secure in maintaining their money. Ma'altov yizaku ma'alchei Europa, ubi yichud adoneinu ha'kairo mi'Rusya, right? And we should mention for good all of the European kings and the great Tsar of Russia, right? Umalche Britannia and the British kings. Sheparsu kanfei memshaltam baratzos harachokos leman yihilcho ishu ish bitachon agufo memono. Right, that they spread their wings wide so that people should be secure in their money. But open shashirim lo yitzterpul hastir atzman shlo yishal lo memona miyehargosam. All of the dinim of Moser are talking about these cases far away, long time ago, or far away in the sense of places like in Africa, right? But today in our countries, like England, and our country like Russia under the Tsar, where they are so enlightened, and they protect us with such tremendous chesed, so therefore, the dinim of Moser do not apply today. That is what the Aruch HaShulchan says. Now, question. Does the Aruch HaShulchan mean it? Does the Aruch HaShulchan mean, seriously, does he really mean that the dinim of Moser don't apply when the government is a good government, like the Tsar's government?
Well,
So he might mean it, maybe.
If there's no question of are they going to kill him?
So there's no question they're going to kill him because there are laws. It's a society that's governed by laws. So what's the problem? The Tsar is governed by law, right? What's going on over here? So many assume. Right, I should say it like this. Shofet Menachem Elon wrote years ago, there was a whole discussion about whether Israel should be involved in extradition with other nations. That was a whole question going back. The whole issue of Tchum in Volume 8 was dedicated to this question. So Shofet Menachem Elon says, yeah, sure, it's permitted for Israel to extradite criminals to other countries, because if the other countries are governed by law, so they are going to punish the criminals appropriately, and there's no problem. And don't worry about Moser handing people over to non-Jewish governments, because Moser doesn't apply, because these are enlightened, wonderful, grand governments. That's what Shofet Menachem Elon said. So the response to Shofet Menachem Elon was written by, what was his name? The Rav of Eretz Chemda. I wrote his name down. I mean, Rabbi Bleich also Rav Shaul Yisraeli. Thank you, Rav Shaul Yisraeli. Rav Shaul Yisraeli and Rabbi Bleich both say, "Come on, what are you talking about? Using this Aruch HaShulchan LaHalacha? Everybody knows that this Aruch HaShulchan is written just as a response to the censor. He wanted to have his books published, and in Russia, you couldn't have books published unless there's a censor who read through what you are saying. So therefore." Therefore, this the Aruch HaShulchan doesn't really mean it. So Rabbi Breuid, in his article, he contends that there are three reasons to assume why the Aruch HaShulchan might actually mean it. Right, let me quote from Rabbi Breuid. This is page 17. While one can dismiss the words of the Aruch HaShulchan as put in for the censor, there are three logical reasons why one might conclude that the words in the text actually reflect normative Jewish law view. 1. All apologetic remarks for the benefit of the censor in the Choshen Mishpat to the Aruch HaShulchan are found in star footnotes at the bottom of the page. This passage is found in the text, not in italics. Okay, good. 2. His mention of the British government is unexplainable if directed to the censor. Britain and the Tsar were not allies at this time. He is clearly referring to the British democratic tradition.
Three.
The Aruch HaShulchan gives a logical and halachic explanation for his view, which he never does when speaking to the censor. So Rabbi Breuid assumes that this quotation of the Aruch HaShulchan can be taken seriously. Now it happens that I'm not 100% convinced. I'm not convinced. It's really a discussion that all the poskim have. This is the book that is usually used when people learn Choshen Mishpat today, the Pisvei Choshen, written by Rav Bloy, who's actually a dayan on the Badatze de Charedis. He's the Rav of Sanhedria. No, the Rav of Pagim, Shunat Pagim, which is right behind Sanhedria. So, he also is not convinced that the Aruch HaShulchan can be used lahalacha. It seems to me that there's one simple explanation why this comment to the Aruch HaShulchan is different than others. Most other comments to Aruch HaShulchan, where they are here for a censor, are comments that are at the beginning of a siman. When Shulchan Aruch begins a new topic, the Aruch HaShulchan kind of has a caveat. The caveat is, these dinim, you know, don't apply today because our government with the Tsar is so wonderful. It happens that, for whatever the reason, the Mechaber included the dinim of Moser not at the beginning of the siman, at the end of the siman. And therefore, the Aruch HaShulchan, who's following the order and the sequence of Shulchan Aruch, he can't have that caveat at the beginning of the paragraph. And therefore, the printer, when he printed it, when he set the type, he didn't move it to the bottom, realizing this is a caveat. It's stuck in the middle, because the dinim of Moser are all stuck in the middle of Simin Shin Peches. Shin Peches speaks about a gaz one, whether he's Nishban Notel, a mission in Shavuos and Daf Mem Hei. So the fact that this is a different sort of din, this din is just in Shulchan Aruch, the sequence is different than other dinim, that might be why this is not written in italics, etc. I don't know, but I think it's an open question. Halacha l'maaseh, there are poskim, though, who use this Arach HaShulchan very seriously. Here, source number 11, the Tzitz Eliezer. The Tzitz Eliezer is dealing with a response to three questions that were asked to him by Professor Abraham, the author of the Nishmat Avram. Dr. Abraham asked him a question. Let's say there was someone, this is a very, very unfortunate case, someone who was working in the Gan Yeladim, someone, a kindergarten teacher, who is sexually molesting the children. Are you allowed to hand that teacher over to the authorities? Right? So, first of all, even according to the rules of classical Moser, you could hand them over. First of all, it's a dangerous situation. It's mamish a rodeif. You could hand them over. Second of all, you're allowed to hand them over to someone who's Meitzer, the rabbim. Right? Certainly, right? You're allowed to hand them over. But he also writes, in the context of this conversation, the Tzitz Eliezer writes, it's on the last page, number 2, right? Gam be'erkaot shel akum nira sheyesh chiluk bazeh bein medinot praiyot lebein medinot ne'urot. There's a difference between enlightened countries and barbaric countries. K'dematzina shemachad b'kazos v'aruch ha'shochan. Right, aruch ha'shochan, etc. The aruch ha'shochan writes, and he quotes aruch ha'shochan. So, in other words, he's using the aruch ha'shochan lahalacha. And he's saying that the dinim of Moser really do not apply at all in democratic countries. That would mean, and Rabbi Breuer points this out in his article, if I have a neighbor who is violating the zoning laws, and he is trying to build an extension onto his home, so I'm allowed to just hand him over to the government, right? And in a democratic society, people are suffering because they're really legitimately violating the law. You could hand them over. You hand them over. No problem of Moser whatsoever, according to the Tzitz Eliezer. Mm-hmm. Halacha l'maisa. Other poskim are not inclined to the Tzitz Eliezer. Other poskim are not inclined. Some poskim, first of all, don't like the Aruch HaShulchan, like we mentioned before, that Aruch HaShulchan's comment that the dinim of Moser no longer apply in our enlightened countries that have the Tsar. So, some hosts can feel, well, you know, maybe it's a censor, even if it's not a censor, right? So, let's be honest. What's the concern of Moser? The concern of Moser is that this person might end up being killed. And he might be killed unjustly. Rav Ezra Batzri, who's one of the Dayanim today in Israel, is a prominent Dayan. So Rav Ezra Batzri, I think actually last week when they asked him to exercise that dibbuk, he refused. No? So we know he's prominent. So Rav Batzri feels that, you know, in American society, he says people go to jail for violating a crime. And what happens to them in jail? Rape is very common in jail. People in jail very often are physically abused by the other prisoners. Very often people in jail suffer tremendously. And Rav Bloy also hints at this. He writes that Onesh HaTfisa Efshashu Kemoser Gufo Mitnesh HaTfisa Yesh B'Chashash B'Kuach Nefesh. It could be that in today's society, whenever someone's going to go to jail, that person might end up being killed. So therefore, effectively, even though it's a democratic society and the laws are procedurally just, right? Again, this might depend on which blogs you read and your political orientation in terms of how you understand how bad the prison's conditions in the United States of America are or aren't, and it could depend on the local area, etc. There's a lot to say about this, but the argument is not so foreign. It's not so meshuga. Yeah. It could be that you're right. The laws are procedurally just, but what happens to that guy? So that guy's going to go into jail for growing marijuana in his backyard. Or he's going to be put into jail for violating some zoning law, and he's going to be killed in jail. That's not just. That's not legitimate. So therefore, it's usur to be moser him. That's what Rav Batzri paskins v'halacha. Rav Bloy is not as convinced. He goes back and forth. Yeah.
Why isn't there an issue of Erkaot, where you're taking a Jew to a non-Jewish court?
Yeah, so the Isser of Erkaot, also we have to deal with. That's a serious thing. So most poskim assume, and Tzitz Eliezer writes this at the end of his tshuva, that if it's the type of thing that the Jewish court has no authority over whatsoever, the Jewish court can't handle the case.
Well, zoning laws, it sounds like...
Zoning laws for sure not. Right? It's not ours to talk about. B'chlal, right? Zoning laws are just arbitrary rules and regulations our local community came up with.
Yeah, but what about some, I can't think of an example right now, but certainly there must be some case that involves a monetary issue that might be relevant.
Could be. I mean, it could be. The point is, though, that, you know, what are we trying to say over here? We're trying to say that if someone is violating a law, according to the Tzitz Eliezer, no matter what that law is, the government is legit. You could be moser him, no problem. Straight Aruch HaShulchan, be moser him. Others would say that no. If by being moser him, there's the possibility that he's going to be incarcerated and suffer
disproportionately
to what he did, so then there's no heter to be moser. That's what Batri said.
What I'm asking is that regardless of what happens then in
jail or... Oh, so you're saying that there should be an Isser HaKa'os to be Moser. So the Isser HaKa'os we could solve either that you get a heter from Bez Din to do it. And the post can, by the way, recommend that you should never be Moser somebody. Practically speaking, no one should leave here and say that, you know, it's mutter to be Moser. You always need a psak from the Bez Din. And the psak from the Bez Din also in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Chaf Vav, it says that the psak from the Bez Din could help for the Isser HaKa'os. Awesome. So it's not so far, yeah.
What would the Isser HaKa'os be if you're not bringing him to court? In the case of giving the government the information, it would be the state bringing him to court. And if it's the case of you suing him,
are poskim who assume that just to get an injunction is also an Isser HaKa'os. Anytime I turn to secular authorities, there's an Isser HaKa'os. So that's a big discussion. I think I gave a share about the Isser HaKa'os. My proper shop is here. I don't know if anyone remembers it. I don't remember it. So,
what a restraining order.
Restraining order,
like,
yeah.
Any domestic violence, you know. I mean, can a woman go? Is this idiot going to listen to a based in? She has to go to.
The Tzitz Eliezer would say if it's a type of thing that Bezin can't handle, go to the secular authorities no matter what. Other poskim, again, you really have to ask a shayla. It's not simple. Other poskim would say that you can't go to the secular authorities because they might end up suffering disproportionately. Rav Moshe Feinstein has this interesting take. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. This is in the last volume of Igros Moshe. I don't know why Rabbi Breud, in his article, does not quote this tshuva. He doesn't quote it at all. He tries to make the diyukim from earlier tshuvas in Rav Moshe. It's explicit in Rav Moshe in the last volume of Igros Moshe. Rav Moshe had a case of a fellow who was stealing stuff from a shul. And this guy was regularly stealing all the silver from a shul. And they knew who the guy was, and are they allowed to hand him over to the authorities? That's the question. So, Rav Moshe writes, well, we know he's guilty, but the fact is that in halacha, a ganav has to pay money. In secular law, a ganav ends up going to jail. Zakhtar of Moshe, because the secular law does not match the halacha in terms of what the punishment is, therefore it's usher to be moser him. That's what Rav Moshe says. He has a raya from a Gemara Moed Katan to this effect, that the secular law and the law that the guy ends up, the punishment he ends up receiving, has to be the same as what the halacha would determine in order to have a heter to be moser.
Yeah. Is that categorical or actual? In other words, in this case, it's a question of monetary versus jail. But let's say if it's a question of Tashmi Kepel versus a secular court, which can award up to 10 times the damages, would that be considered enough? In other words, is it...
So Rav Moshe sounds, it's not abundantly clear. It sounds like it's what you call categorical. It sounds like Rav Moshe is saying that if it's a tashlum of mammon and he'll pay mammon, then it's okay. But if the halacha mandates mammon and he'll get ma'asar, he'll go to jail, no heter. That's Rav Moshe's argument.
So what is a shul supposed to do to protect themselves against?
So what's a shul supposed to do to protect themselves? Yeah. He doesn't deal with that question.
The guy's manipulating the system.
Right. And this is one of the big problems in all of Moser, because the Ganav, every Ganav in the world knows this word Moser. And they're going to walk out and say, Moser! You're going to be Moser. You can't be Moser. Worst thing in Judaism. And they're all going to say it. Right? So we're really in trouble. Yeah.
He's going to get people mad at him.
So it's not possible.
He'll get killed off.
Yeah. He'll get killed off.
He pushes it
He'll get
far.
Killed off before he does it. But it could be that you're not allowed to kill him in America. Anymore. You can't kill a Moser. Because in America, what's going to happen? What's
you
the concern? That he's giving the money over to the non-Jews and that I'm going to die? No, I'm not going to die because the government will protect me. Right? So either
Only
Abba.
If you tell the government.
Yeah. Reb Schechter has an interesting take on the whole sugya of Moser over here. He has a Gemara. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, sources 8 and 9. The Gemara Bava Metzia has a case of Reb Elazar Reb Shimon, who found a guy who was appointed by the government to grab Ganovim. Right? Now that's his job. There's a guy who grabs Ganovim. And the guy tries to enlist Reb Elazar Reb Shimon into this job of grabbing Ganovim. And he says, I'll tell you what to do. Go into the stores in the morning. And if you see that a guy is dozing off. You see that he's falling asleep. It's like the fifth line into this source. He has inish because shasi chamra v'kanak hasa biyada become a nam name. If you see a guy is holding a cup of wine and he's dozing off, sha'oli lavei, ask about him. Itzovim rabbanim huvenayim akdume kadem legirtei. If he's a young yeshiva bachar, he's a young talmud chacham, and now he's sleeping in the morning. So you know the reason why he's sleeping is because he was learning all night. Okay, so he was learning all night, so he has a hetter to be sleeping in the morning. Epoelhu, if he's a worker, so he's sleeping because he got up at 4 a.m. to work. Right? Fine. Ve'ilo, and if he's not a worker, and he's not a yeshiva bachar, so why is he sleeping? Ganvo. Obviously, he's a ganiv. V'tapsei. And then you're allowed to grab him for the government. And Reb Elazar Reb Shimon, you did this. And then there's some story that Eliyahu HaNavi comes and says it's not appropriate for you to get involved in this because you're a big Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham, you shouldn't get involved in this line of work. But it sounds like it's perfectly permitted. And comes along the Ritva, and the Ritva asks, how was he allowed to do this? Without Sanhedrin. So he says, well, it's a shaliach of the king. Based on Dina de Malchusa, the government has a right to enforce laws, so I'm allowed to grab Ganovim for the government. So I'm allowed to work for the government and bring criminals in based on circumstantial evidence. Even though they're going to end up suffering differently than the halacha allows, l'chora, right? L'chora, they're going to be suffer differently than the Gemara allows, and the type of edus that you're using is different than the halacha would allow, still, you're allowed to grab them. You're allowed to grab them. So says Rabbi Schechter that what you see from this Gemara is that you are allowed to work for the government to grab people and to give them over to the government authorities. You're allowed to do that. Perfectly mutter. Now, why does it have to be that you're working for the government? So Rav Schechter says like this, if I'm not working for the government, if I'm not a paid employee of the government, I'm not allowed to give a criminal over because the government is non-Jewish and there's a din that avedas akum is asar. There's a halakha that I'm not allowed to return lost items to an akum. So in this case, the criminal is like a lost item, so I can't return the lost item to the government without the government. But if I work for the government, if I get paid, so it's as if I'm being hired by an akum to return the lost items, so then it's okay. So based on this, Rav Schechter argues is that, you know what, you're allowed to be moser people if that is your job.
What?
If it's your this is his argument. He writes this in the RJJ Journal, Volume 1, basically. That if your job is that you are a IRS agent, let's say, right? What do IRS agents do for a living? Let's be honest. They're moser.
Yeah.
Hey, that's their whole job, no? Are you allowed to work for the IRS? So Rav Schechter says, absolutely, you're allowed to work for the IRS. And Rav Schechter says, you see from this Gemara against Rav Moshe, You see from this Gemara that you're allowed to work for the government even if the punishment is going to be a different punishment than the halacha would mandate. So that's his conclusion. So, Bekitzer, just to sum up, there are many cases of Moser that we could deal with. Rabbi Breuer, at the end of his article, gives us what he calls hypotheticals and conclusion. So, if someone regularly assaults people, can you hand him over? Absolutely. Absolutely, no question. According to the regular rules of Moser, you can hand him over, right? If a yeshiva is building a building with a non-dangerous zoning violation in place, can you inform on them? Well, according to the Tzitz Eliezer, yes. According to the other post-game, no. A recreational marijuana user grows marijuana in his backyard, can you inform on him to the police? Again, according to Tzitz Eliezer, yes. Someone who's cheating on income tax, can you inform him to the IRS? Again, according to the Tzitz Eliezer, absolutely yes. According to the other post-game, you are not allowed to do that. And if you inform on him, you end up being you end up becoming a Moser, effectively. According to many other posts. If I work for the government, I'm allowed to, according to Rav Schechter, right? Rav Moshe might not okay that also. There are many other cases. It's hard. Each shaila that comes up is very, very difficult to figure out when Moser is Mutter, when it isn't Mutter. If you want to be governed by the regular rules in Shulchan Aruch, you have to know the rules very well. If you hold like the Aruch HaShulchan, you have a lot of leeway over here. And it does not seem to be a easily decided area of halacha. So I thank you all for coming.
Thank you.